1 Thessalonians 5:14. As now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Over there in verse 18, there's our text there. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, grateful again to be in your house, but Lord, I do need you here today. I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your spirit here. I pray, Lord, you use me, give me your boldness, give me your thoughts, your words, and just give me clarity of thought as we go through this here today, Lord. And I pray you do what only you can do, and that's to speak of the hearts here today. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor for it. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, life, it's all about being comfortable, right? At least that's what they tell us. Don't work too hard. Stay safe. Stay cool. Keep warm. Hey, whatever it is, life is supposed to be easy, right? We're never supposed to have any difficulties, especially once you become a Christian. It should just be smooth sailing. Well, when life doesn't go the way you think it should, and when life happens and things do not go your way, you know, when things don't go perfectly the way we planned them out, we can get tempted to murmur. We can get tempted to complain. And look, let me tell you, it's easy to find things to complain about, isn't it? I mean, we'll complain about everything. From the color of the carpet, to the shape of the pew, you know, to the speaker system, to the lights, to the weather, to everything else. It's easy to complain. But here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks. In. That's a key word there. Might want to underline that word. In. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We are to give thanks in everything. That's that key word. The Bible does not say that we are to be thankful for everything, but in everything. There's some things we're not thankful for, right? We're not thankful for sin. We're not thankful for the wages of sin being death. We're not, thankful for death, right? There are some things in this life that should anger us. You know, sin should anger us. The Bible says, "Be angry and sin not," right? There are some things that are to anger us, but there are some things that sadden us. There's some things that we wish we didn't have to go through. Right? Maybe it's the death of a loved one, the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a health issue. But life is hard, okay? Life is hard. Life is not easy. Newsflash, right? I hate to burst your bubble, but life is definitely not easy. Christian life is definitely not easy, okay? We saw this morning the life of Paul. Paul went through a lot of things. He went through a lot of persecution. Now you take the time in Paul and you take us here today. I wonder when was it that Christians thought living a Christian life should be simple and easy? Because if you read any part in history, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, right, you see all throughout times, all throughout the history, all the way from today, all the way back to Jesus. I mean, they put Jesus on the cross. They crucified him, right? Right? They persecuted Christians. It's just Christian life is not going to be easy. There's going to be trials. There's going to be storms. But the reminder for us here today is, in everything, we're to give thanks. We're in everything. You see, the only reason that we can be thankful in everything is because of Jesus Christ. The only reason that we can be thankful is for what He did. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, and He died for every single person. See, we all deserve God's wrath, and that's because of sin. We deserve God's punishment. We deserve death and hell, and the penalty of that is death and dying and going to the lake of fire. And so as we sit here in a nice building, in a heated or air-conditioned building, in soft pews, with nice carpet and a good sound system, knowing that ultimately we all deserve hell, surely we can find something to be thankful in, right? We can be finding something to be thankful in. So I'm going to look at this here today. In everything, give thanks. I want to give you a few reminders of Thanksgiving. Okay, I got three reminders for you for Thanksgiving. Number one, I want you to see that Thanksgiving is a time of realization. Thanksgiving is a time of realization. If you could turn over to James chapter 1, I want you to see here in James chapter 1 and verse number 17 that Thanksgiving is a time we need to realize some things. James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1, verse number 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. God gives us everything we have. God is good. God is perfect. God is just. God is righteous. God is holy. And you know what? He gives us everything that we need. He has given us everything that we have. And if it were not for God, we wouldn't have anything. You understand that? We need to give thanks in everything, no matter what our circumstance is, no matter where we're at in life, no matter what ails us. God is good, and He has provided His gift for us. We just need to realize how good God is. In Psalm 34, verse 8, the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Do you trust Him? Now we say we trust Him for salvation. We say we trust Him to take our soul to heaven. But do we trust Him with our lives? Right? Do we trust Him with our finances? Do we trust Him with His will for our life? Do we trust Him? Right? All the gifts that He's given, everything He's given, is from Him. It's from Him. It's from above. And you see, from the very beginning, God has always wanted to bless man. He built a perfect place, and He put mankind in it. He created man, He created woman, He created Adam and Eve, and He put them in a perfect place. It would have been a blessing, a perfect place. He created man to live in a perfect environment. Now, eventually, we know one day that's going to take place, right? That's going to take place, but here today, we live in a fallen world. But that's not the way God designed this world. If you could flip over to Genesis chapter 1. Let me give you a reminder here. In Genesis chapter 1, all the way back in the beginning, God's creation was good. God's creation was intended for good. God is good. Everything we have is from Him. He created us to live in a perfect environment. He says here in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created everything. Do you believe that? Well, we send our kids to schools that don't believe that, that don't teach that. That's contrary to the Word of God. All around us, the world doesn't believe this. They have no belief in a God that created everything around us, that created the heavens, that created the earth. They believe in some big bang explosion thing that took place, and out of there came apes and monkeys, and then out of that came us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And look down there at verse 26. You know, He says here how He created man. He says, "And God said, let us." You ever wonder what that "let us" is? Let us. I'll come back to that in a second. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God made man in His image, and we have dominion over the animals. He says in verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. God created male and He created female. All mankind in His image. To let us is the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three, part of the Trinity, was all involved in creating you. You were created by a holy, righteous God who loves you. Right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now it's time that the world realizes this. Right? It's time that the world realizes. Now one day they're going to realize it. But for so many, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. But the world needs to realize this, that there wasn't a big bang. God spoke and the world came to be. He spoke the world into existence. Explosions do not create life. They destroy it. But when God speaks something into life, it is. It is so. God spoke the world into existence. But here's the thing. God put Adam and Eve in that perfect place and He gave them one command. Don't eat off the fruit of that one tree. Right? And you know what happened? They did. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Right? Hey, Thanksgiving is a time of realization. We need to realize where we come from. Right? Sin entered the world and it's done a number on this world. It has destroyed this earth. But you say, well, why did God create sin? Why did God create sin? God didn't create sin. God didn't create sin. You understand? God created man. He put man in a perfect place. He gave man a perfect will. A perfect free will. He gave us a free will to choose. And when we chose to disobey God, that's when sin entered the world. And the effects are felt here today. But you see, you take a group of young people and you tell them that they're mere animals. They're nothing but animals, right? They've evolved from nothing into nothing. Right? There's no real purpose in life. What purpose do they have to live if all I am is nothing and all I'm going to be is nothing? But when you tell a person, you tell people that they were created in the image of a holy God, a righteous God, who created you for a purpose, for a reason. You are here for a purpose, right? I'm just saying, Thanksgiving is a time of realization. God has a purpose for each one of us. Every single one of us, He's given us a purpose. A God who loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. That changes things. Don't you think? That changes things. In Romans 8:32, the Bible says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. Right? We looked last week about, you know, asking for the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. We looked at praying and pray without cease, and it's even in our text there, but making our requests known to God. Come humbly before the throne of God of grace. You know, we are to do that. Why? Because He wants to freely give us all things. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He proved it there. Right? Man had fallen into sin. Man had sinned and separated himself from God. But God made a way. He made a plan. But you see, when you realize there is a Creator, it gives value to life. Let me show you this here in Jeremiah. If you could turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. In Jeremiah chapter number 1, look there at verse number 5. When you realize there's a Creator, you realize there's value to life, you realize there's a purpose for life, and you realize when you read this verse in Jeremiah 1:5, He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly." Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He already knew me. He already knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto thy nations. Hey, before God even created us, He already knew us. He knew our weaknesses. He knew our strengths. He knew everything there was to know about us. He knew when we would get saved. It's those that have called on the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows who's going to call on Him to be saved. But you know what? He also knows who's not going to call on Him to be saved. But God knew who would trust Him. He knew who wouldn't trust Him. And all I'm saying is Thanksgiving is a time of realization. It's just a time to realize things could always be a lot worse than they are. Things could also be a lot more difficult than what they are. So my question is, what is so bad in your life? You were created by a holy God that loves you. What is so bad in your life today that you cannot serve God? What is so bad in your life that you do not want to serve God? And age should be no factor. Moses was 80 years old when God called him into the ministry. 80 years old. 80. And you know what he did for the next 40 years? He wandered around in the desert. That was tough. That wasn't easy. That was hard. It was 120 years when he went to be with the Lord. I think of Job. Right? I think of Job. You know Job, the story of Job. He lost 10 children. He lost 10 children. He lost all of his wealth, his property. He lost his servants, and he even lost his health. And he was depressed. He was sick. He was weary. And then his wife says to him, hey, why don't you curse God and die? Right? The last person in the world is his last friend he had. Right? Why don't you curse God and die? Hey, things are just so bad. Just curse God and die. And then you know what happens? His three friends show up for 7 days and they stare at him. They don't speak to him. And then when they do start speaking to him, they say a lot of bad things. But the Bible says this about Job. It says this. It says that in all this, Job sinned not. In all those trials, in all those storms, the loss of his children, the loss of his wealth and his livelihood, his livestock, his servant, everything he had has been lost. The Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He looked up. He saw God. He saw the righteous God, the holy God. He realized he knew who God was. He says this. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He says, when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hey, Job didn't turn his back on God. Hey, and in those situations, how many of us would have quit? How many of us would have quit? Loss of a child, loss of all my wealth. Right? How many of us would quit? Job didn't quit. He stayed faithful in all that. He did not sin. Hey, that's what I'm saying. We need to realize what we have. We need to realize the blessings that we have. We need to realize what God has given us compared to the rest of the world. Hey, every single one of us is rich. Compared to the world, every single one of us would be considered rich. And so we need a reminder that in everything we are to give thanks. In all things. Our homes, our food, our clothing, our sickness, our ailments, our weakness. Thanksgiving is a time of realization. But it's also, number two, Thanksgiving is a time of contentment. You can turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Thanksgiving is a time of contentment. Are you content? Are you a content person? 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse number 6. Thanksgiving is a time of contentment, meaning satisfied, sufficient. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Hey, godliness with contentment is great gain. It is peace. There is joy. Hey, we brought nothing into this world. We came into this world naked. Nothing. When we go out of this world, we're not taking anything with us. All these things that we have are temporary. Now, there's no doubt that God wants the very best of our life, best for our lives here. But you say, I want more. I want to do this. But is it God's will? Are you content with the what God has for you? Are you content with God's will in your life? You want more and more and more. And every time you get more, you want more. Right? That's not contentment. Okay? You say, oh no, preacher, I've worked hard for this. This is all me. This is my doing. Well, God gave you the ability to work, didn't He? He gave you the ability to work. He gave you the knowledge to learn how to do it. We need to learn to be content with what we have. Now that word contentment does mean a completely sufficient, to need absolutely nothing, to be fulfilled, satisfied, and complete. Right? To be satisfied. Satisfied with what I have. Satisfied with what the Lord has given me. Why? Because every good gift is from who? The Lord. It's from above. Contentment, here's the thing with contentment. Contentment is it's a mind thing. It's a mindset. Okay? Contentment is something that we just don't pick up and put in our mind and we've got to train our mind to be content, don't we? Especially in this world that we live in. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all these things bombarding me, the bright lights in the big city, all these things are drawing us to want more and more and more and more. Right? But God says to be content with having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Right? He says, hey, if you've got food and raiment, that's all you need to be content. But contentment, we've got to train our minds. If you do not train your mind to be content, you will not be content. So here's some thoughts on contentment. Contentment is walking in God's will. Are we walking in God's will? Again, I say it already a few times. But contentment is walking in God's will, and it's accepting the situation He has for me at this present time. It's accepting His will, where He has me, what He has me to do. In Philippians 4:11, the Bible says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Right? We know Paul said that. And we learned this morning that Paul went through some persecution. But even though he was stoned and shipwrecked and left for dead and all those things, he says here that no matter what, I learn to be content. No matter what is going on the things around me, no matter what has come upon in my life, hey, I need to learn to be content. So being content is something that we have to learn. Right? We have to train our mind. We got to train our heart. We got to watch what we're putting in. Because too many people look for contentment in the possessions that they own, in the things that they own. Right? We think that, you know, having a big house and a fancy car and a new boat and a big screen TV, all those things are going to make us content in life. But that doesn't make us content in life. It gives us more heartburn. Right? Because those things break, those things decay, and they go bad, and then what happens? We've got to work harder and longer and more, get more money to buy bigger and better. Right? But that's not contentment. But people, our flesh is constantly looking at things to fulfill that contentment. You ever noticed in a funeral procession, you know, you got the hearse, and then behind the hearse, have you ever seen a U-Haul hooked up to the hearse? Carrying all the goodies and stuff? Never see that, do you? You know, they're not taking a U-Haul. You're not taking a U-Haul with you when you leave this world. All your stuff's not going in there, right? That new rod you want there, it's not going with you, right? You leave it, you know, somebody else is going to get it. Throw it away, right? Or sell it. Do something with it, right? You're not going to leave or take anything with you. And on August 13, 2004, there was a Hurricane Charley down in Florida. And during the storm, there was a 25-year-old man named Danny Williams who went outside to seek protection under the branches of a 55-year-old tree. Now, his family said that that tree was a place where it was a peaceful place for him to go in times of stress. And so he went out there in that storm in that time looking for a peaceful place. But on that day, it became a death trap and the tree fell on him and killed him. Point is this, sometimes the places that we look for contentment, the situations in life that we look for protection,
are sometimes doing the opposite. Sometimes they kill us, right? Sometimes they are more harmful than they are good. That's the lesson there on not being content. So what makes a person content? It tells us there it's godliness. Godliness. Godliness is what makes a person content. He says there in 1 Timothy 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness, what is godliness? Well, godliness is living in God's will. It is abiding in Christ. It is walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. It is being filled with the Spirit, not being filled with the world. Okay? It is putting off the old man and putting on the new man. It is presenting my body a living sacrifice to the Lord. It is I die daily. It is I am crucified with Christ. It is all those things. It is all those things. And those things must take place in order for us to have contentment in life. And as we come to Thanksgiving, we need to remember Thanksgiving is a time not only of realization, but it's also a time of contentment. Are we content in all things? And let me give you the third one here today. Thanksgiving is obviously a time of what? Thankfulness. Thanksgiving is a time of thankfulness. If you could flip over to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. So are we thankful in everything? Amen, right? Thankful in everything. In Psalm 100, start there in verse number 1. Thanksgiving is a time of thankfulness, okay? Psalm 100, verse number 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4 there says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Hey, we need to never take for granted what Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful. Right? He tells us here, we need to be thankful for the One who gave us. The One who gave us life. The One who gave us liberty. The One who gave us redemption. The One who gave us life. Okay? The One who gave us what we have. Good health. Hey, we may not have it tomorrow. We may have it today. It could be gone tomorrow. We are commanded here to come before God with a thankful heart. And He's talking about coming to church. Coming to church with a thankful heart. Coming to church with a smile on your face. Amen? Being thankful and glad that I could come into the house of the Lord. Being faithful to the house of the Lord. Wanting to come to the house of the Lord. Right? Faithfulness is one of those a sign of true thankfulness. Right? When you're faithful to the house of God. Hey, there's times this old flesh doesn't want to come to church, right? You might be tired, sick, don't feel good, rough night. Hey, whatever it is, but you come into the house of the Lord, right? And it's just a pleasant place to be. You sense the Spirit of the Lord here and God's presence here. And you be with the believers, the other believers, and you exhort one another and you encourage one another. That's what it's about, right? It's not about it's not about me or any other person. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's His church. He died for this church and His church. And it's just about us being faithful to His church. That's all that is. Not only should we come before the Lord with gladness and joy, but we should enter His presence with thanksgiving. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Enter His presence with thanksgiving and praise. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, the Bible says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Right? That's something we should be doing continually. Like He says, pray without ceasing. That we're to, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. We're to continually be praising God. As we go through our day, are we praising God? Right? hey, praise God, we were able to come to church today. You know, you get home and praise God, you let me come home safe. You know, praise God that I have my health. You know, praise God, praise God, praise God. There's always something we can do. There's always something that God is blessing with us, that God has given us that we can praise Him for. Amen? So now, this week, as we come to Thanksgiving this week, you know, this is a tradition that's celebrated in our country, Thanksgiving. It's been celebrated for many, many years, and it's, like I said, it is one of my favorite holidays. You know, families get together always, and food, and all that good time. It's always good. In 1621, the Pilgrims had a rough year. Over half of their people died of starvation or disease. And at the end there, the Pilgrims set aside 3 days in December to praise the Lord for a bountiful corn harvest, right? At the end of that year, it was a rough year. But many years later, in 1789, President George Washington proclaimed November 26th as a national day of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And this was in response to God's granting America independence from Britain. Okay, so they were thankful for their freedom, and so they set that day aside as a national day of thanksgiving. But it wasn't until 1863 that Abraham Lincoln rendered that day of thanks unto the Lord. But it didn't really officially be a holiday until 1941 in our country. In 1941, the United States Congress decreed that the fourth Thursday in November was to be a national day of thanksgiving unto the Lord our God. So you see, Thanksgiving isn't all about football. It's not all about Black Friday and all that shopping. It's not all about food and eating. And it's not all about time of fellowship, even though that's great, right? Thanksgiving is a special day set aside to give thanks unto the Lord. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Right here, if you go back in our text in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, He says, "In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Remember, thankfulness is the opposite of complaining. The opposite of complaining. And the Israelites, who had more to be thankful for than anybody, any group of people, they were guilty of doing the most complaining. And you know what it cost them? It cost them 40 years of wandering around in the desert, murmuring, complaining, unthankfulness. Many of them died out there and never got to see the promised land. And the reason that they were out there was for their own, it was their own fault. They were bringing it upon themselves. They were the ones that were complaining. So my point is, what is your situation that you're in today? Are you in a complaining spirit like the Israelites? Are you wandering around in the wilderness? Or are you content? Are you content with all things where God has you at today? You might be not be happy about your situation, but at least you could be thankful that there is a God in heaven who loves you and He cares about you, and He cares that one day you'll get to heaven if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's where it all starts. You can't be thankful if you've not been born again. You've got to believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He paid it all, shed His blood on the cross, died, was buried, rose again the third day. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So I got a story here. I want to close with this here story. Familiar story. You might have heard it before. A little bit about Hudson Taylor. But a lady by the name of Maria Dyer was born in 1837 on the mission field in China, where her parents were missionaries. Both her parents died when Maria was a little girl, and she was sent back to England to be raised by her uncle. And the loss of her parents did not deter her heart from the importance of sharing the gospel. Now, she had it in her. She wanted to get that gospel out. So at the age of 16, she and her sister returned to China to work in a girls' school as a missionary. At 16, she was a missionary in China. 5 years later, she met somebody and they were married. She met a man by the name of Hudson Taylor. You may have heard of him. She met him, they were married, and he's a famous missionary, and that they were doing a work there in China. And a lot of their work there was criticized, even by other Christians. And at one point, Maria wrote, "As to the harsh judgings of the world, or the more painful misunderstandings of Christian brethren, I generally feel that the best plan is to go on with our work and leave God to vindicate our cause." Right? Press on. Kind of like Paul this morning. I press toward the mark. I don't quit. Right? I'm thankful for what God has given me. I'm thankful for the position I'm in. But God, I'm just going to keep going forward serving you. And Maria herself, she died of cholera when she was just 43 years old. But she believed so worthily in her cause and the sacrifice that on her grave marker were these words. She said, "For her to live was Christ, and to die was gain." Sound familiar, doesn't it? Sound familiar, doesn't it? Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful. Are you thankful? Are you thankful in all things? Are you thankful for the good, the bad, the health, the sickness? Are you thankful in all things? Thanksgiving is a time of realization. Okay? A time to realize all things come from above. All things God has blessed us with, it's all from Him. And Thanksgiving is a time of contentment. Whatsoever state I am, to be content. I'm to be content, no matter what. So are you a contented person? Some things to think about this Thanksgiving as you're gathered around with family and friends and eating some good food. It's a time to ponder on these things, to remember some things. And hey, as you're there with some family members, are they lost? Hey, we got to get the gospel to them. We want to see souls saved. We want to see people saved, our family members. Don't let that opportunity go. Don't let that opportunity leave you behind, okay? That's right.